Good evening, good morning, or good whatever time you're braving this tale. Welcome, my fellow lovers of chills, to Stories, Fables, Ghostly Tales, where I, your humble tale teller, spin stories to make your hair stand on end. Or at least, you know, give you a solid excuse to sleep with the lights on. And welcome to Blackthorn's Dark Shadows. In this particular episode, where the echoes of the past are never truly silent. Tonight, I take you into the heart of an ancient castle turned boarding school, a place where the walls breathe with secrets and the shadows hunger for more than darkness. Adrian, a young boy, has vanished, swallowed by a place that seems to exist between worlds. His disappearance unearths a chilling truth. Blackthorn Academy stands on the ruins of something far older and far more sinister. This story is inspired by a Patreon member who sent in their dream to me, and I've converted it into a story in and unto itself. Titled The Memory Keeper, and inspired by Sangeetha, I hope you love this tale. So join us as we unravel the thread of despair, uncovering ghostly memory keepers, black-eyed creatures, a shadow realm that feeds on the souls of the unwary, and the very fear that keeps you ticking. Are you brave enough to confront the horrors that lie just beyond the veil? I certainly hope so. This is not just a story, it's an invitation. Welcome to the dark. The call came at dusk, a time when the shadows begin to stretch and whisper across the earth. Adrian's mother, her voice trembling and brittle, begged me to come. I'd known Adrian since he was a child, his laughter echoing through summers spent in the woods behind our homes. Now, he was gone, vanished into the stone and silence of Blackthorn Academy, a prestigious boarding school built on the ruins of an ancient castle. Blackthorn had a reputation, though no one dared speak it aloud. There were stories, of course, rumours of voices in the halls, faces at the windows long after the students were asleep. But Adrian's disappearance had been the first tangible tragedy in decades. No one saw him leave, and no trace of him was found. I wasn't a detective, but Adrian's parents believed my sensitivity might uncover something the authorities had missed. They weren't wrong. Since childhood, I had been attuned to things others couldn't see. My grandmother called it the gift. Others called it a curse. But in all my years, I'd never encountered anything as ominous as Blackthorn. When I arrived, the air around the school felt heavy, almost suffocating. The sprawling grounds were surrounded by thick woods, their skeletal branches clawing at the sky. The main building loomed ahead, its towering stone walls scarred by centuries of storms. Gargoyles perched on the roof, their eyes seeming to follow me as I approached. The headmaster, Dr. Everett Hargrove, met me at the entrance, a tall man with a thin frame. He exuded an air of cold detachment. He offered a perfunctory handshake, his bony fingers like ice against my palm. "I'm glad you've come," he said, though his tone betrayed no such sentiment. The police were thorough, but the family insisted on another look. He led me to Adrian's room. The corridors were eerily quiet, the sound of our footsteps swallowed by the thick stone walls. When we reached the room, Hargrove handed me the key. "The room was cleared after the investigation," he said, "but no one else has used it since." As he turned to leave, I hesitated. "One question, Dr. Hargrove. Has anyone reported anything unusual?" His lips pressed into a thin line. "This is an old building. People let their imaginations run wild." Before I could press further, he strode away, leaving me alone with the key and the door. The room was cold, despite the late spring warmth outside. The bed was stripped bare, the desk empty, the walls stark and pale. Yet something about the space felt alive, as if it were watching me. Then I noticed it. The walls weren't entirely opaque. As I moved closer, I realized they shimmered faintly, revealing glimpses of an older structure beneath. The original castle walls, rough-hewn and ancient. The air grew thick as I stared at the walls, the faint outline of the past shifting and swirling like mist. Suddenly, in the center of the room, a figure appeared. An elderly woman in a tattered grey dress. Her hair was wispy, almost translucent, and her face was a mask of sorrow. She sat hunched in a wooden chair that hadn't been there moments before, her gnarled hands clutching a faded shawl. I froze, my breath caught in my throat. Who are you? I stammered. Her gaze lifted to meet mine, her eyes hollow and filled with an infinite sadness. I am the Memory Keeper. Her voice soft but resonant, echoing with layers of time. I stumbled backward towards the door and threw it open. Dr. Hargrove! I called, my voice trembling. When he returned, I demanded, "Is anyone in the room?" He frowned. "No one living is in that room." His words sent a chill down my spine. I turned back to the room, half expecting the woman to be gone, but she was still there, watching me with an unblinking intensity. The Memory Keeper explained her purpose. She was not a ghost, but a conduit for the countless souls who lingered in the castle stones. They could not speak directly to the living, but through her, their stories could be told, and Blackthorn, she revealed, was saturated with death, its walls a repository of despair, violence, and untold secrets. "There are shadows here, darkness that hungers and feeds. Adrian is among us now, though his fate is unclear." "Can I speak to him?" I asked, my voice barely above a whisper. "Not yet. You must understand the castle first, its history, its horrors. Only then will you find Adrian." My pulse quickened. "What do you mean? What happened to him?" She tilted her head, a sad smile playing on her lips. "He wandered where he shouldn't have, into the Shadow Realm, where the black-eyed ones dwell." The words sent a shiver through me. "The Shadow Realm." She nodded. "A place within the castle, yet apart from it. It exists in the spaces between, the cracks in time and reality. Many have been lost to it." As she spoke, the walls shimmered again, revealing fleeting images. Knights in bloodied armor, children cowering in corners, women weeping in despair. Each image was more harrowing than the last, and all carried the same oppressive sense of doom. I turned back to the Memory Keeper, my resolve hardening. "How do I find Adrian?" Her gaze bore into mine. "You must listen to their stories, piece together the truth. Only then will the shadows release him." And so began my descent into the darkness of Blackthorn, guided by the voices of the dead and the flickering fragments of a world gone terribly wrong. The Memory Keeper's presence lingered long after she vanished. I stood in the middle of Adrian's room, the air around me dense with unseen weight. Her parting words echoed in my mind. "You must listen to their stories." Somewhere within this suffocating labyrinth of stone and shadow lay the truth about Adrian, but the cost of uncovering it was yet to be known. As I stepped out into the corridor, I felt the oppressive quiet settle over me again. The students were long gone for the summer, but Blackthorn wasn't truly empty. It was as though the walls themselves were alive, brimming with memories that waited for the right moment to break free. My first stop was the school's library. If the castle had a shadowy history, surely it was recorded somewhere. The librarian, a wiry man with an overly polite smile, seemed unnerved by my presence. He gestured vaguely toward the archives and left me to my search. The library's archives were tucked away in a corner, illuminated by a single flickering light bulb. Dust blanketed the shelves, and the air smelled of mildew and something faintly metallic. I began sifting through the records, my fingers brushing across old registers, maps and journals. One journal caught my attention, bound in cracked leather. It bore no title. Inside, the handwriting was uneven, almost frantic. The author, identified only as R.C., described strange occurrences within the castle. March 17th, 1896. They found another child in the east wing today. Her eyes were black as coal and her skin as pale as death. She didn't speak but stared at us with a malice no child should know. She vanished before we could decide what to do. April the 2nd, 1896. The shadows grow bolder. Last night I saw them stretch across the ceiling, clawing and writhing. They whisper now. Names, warnings, and promises of freedom. All, I believe, lies. May 12th, 1896. The castle demands a sacrifice. The children wander into the dark, drawn by voices only they can hear. Once they cross the threshold, they are lost to us. The entries end abruptly. My stomach churned as I read the final line. The black-eyed ones watch us all. They are hungry. When I left the library, the corridors seemed darker than before. The faint sound of whispers drifted through the air, growing louder as I moved toward Adrian's room. It wasn't until I reached the door that I realized the whispers were coming from behind it. I pushed the door open slowly. The memory keeper was back, her translucent form seated in the same wooden chair. Around her, the room pulsed faintly, the translucent walls revealing more glimpses of the castle's violent past. "You've begun to understand," she said without looking at me. "What are the black-eyed ones?" My voice shaking. Her gaze turned icy. "They are not of this world. They come from the shadow realm, feeding on fear, despair, and the essence of the living. They thrive in places like this, where the veil between worlds is thin." I swallowed hard. How do I stop them? "You don't. But you might outsmart them." Before I could ask more, the walls around us shimmered again, and the room began to shift. The bed disappeared, replaced by a long wooden table. The pale walls darkened, transforming into rough-hewn stone. It was no longer Adrian's room, but a dining hall, a vision of the castle's past. The air filled with the sound of laughter and clinking goblets. Figures materialized around the table, feasting and drinking. At first, they seemed normal. But as I watched, their appearance began to change. Their skin grew pallid, their eyes dark and hollow. The laughter turned to screams as shadows seeped into the room, engulfing the revelers one by one. The memory keeper's voice cut through the chaos. This was their last meal. The shadows claimed them that night, binding their souls to the castle. I turned to her, my chest tight with dread. "Adrian, is he one of them now?" Her expression softened. "Not yet, but time is running out." The memory keeper beckoned to me, and the dining hall faded away. We were back in Adrian's room, though the air still felt heavy with lingering energy. She gestured toward a corner, and for a moment I saw nothing. Then, slowly, a figure emerged from the shadows. It was a boy, perhaps 13 or 14, with messy hair and a pale complexion. His eyes darted around nervously, as if he feared something unseen. "This is Thomas. He was the first to vanish when the school opened," the memory keeper said. Thomas turned to me, his gaze wide and pleading. "They took me," he whispered. "I didn't mean to go, but they called, and I couldn't stop." "Who called you?" "The shadows. They come at night, and they promise. They promise everything you've ever wanted, but it's a lie. They take you to the dark, and you can't get out." He stepped closer, his voice growing frantic. "Adrian's there. I've seen him. But he's fading. You have to hurry." Before I could respond, Thomas's form began to dissolve, his outline swallowed by the same creeping shadows he feared. The memory keeper's voice was grave. "Each soul you speak to will bring you closer to the truth, but the shadows will not let you interfere without consequence. They are watching you now." I felt a chill run down my spine. "What happens if they catch me?" Her expression darkened. "Then you will become one of them." Their translucent walls rippled, and I saw fleeting images of more faces, pale, terrified, and hollowed eyes. They were the forgotten, trapped within the castle's stones, their stories waiting to be told. I turned back to the memory keeper, my resolve hardening. "I'll find Adrian, whatever it takes." She nodded solemnly. "Then prepare yourself. The shadows are patient, but they are also very hungry." As I left the room, I couldn't shake the feeling of being watched. The whispers in the corridor seemed louder now, and the flickering light overhead cast shadows that moved in ways they shouldn't. Somewhere deep within the castle, Adrian was waiting, and so were the shadows. The memory keeper's warning haunted me as I ventured deeper into the castle. The once familiar corridors of Blackthorn Academy now felt labyrinthine, every turn revealing unfamiliar hallways that seemed to stretch endlessly into darkness. The air grew colder, and the whispers followed me like a persistent breath against my neck. I clutched the journal from the library tightly, its weight somehow comforting in the oppressive silence. Adrian wasn't the first to vanish, and he wouldn't be the last, not unless I unraveled the castle's secrets. And I'd seen Thomas, a boy trapped in a void of fear and regret, and he spoke of Adrian fading into the Shadow Realm. I could not let that happen. But the shadows were growing bold. I could feel them closing in, their presence like icy tendrils brushing against my skin. In the dim light of the hallway, I noticed a faint seam in the stone wall, a vertical crack that seemed too deliberate to be natural. The closer I moved to it, the more the whispers intensified, overlapping into a cacophony of indistinct voices. I pressed my hand against the crack, and the stone felt warm, pulsing faintly, as if alive. The journal had mentioned a gateway between realms, a place where the veil between the living and the Shadow Realm was thinnest, I realized with a sinking feeling that I had found it. I stopped and somewhat hesitated. The Memory Keeper had warned me of the danger, but Thomas's frantic words echoed in my mind. Adrian's there. I've seen him, but he's fading. With trembling hands, I pressed harder, the stone shifting under my touch, groaning as it slid inward. A cold draft rushed out, carrying with it the stench of decay and something sweetly metallic. Beyond the crack was a yawning blackness, deeper and more unnatural than anything I'd ever seen. It wasn't just dark, it was void. Steeling myself, I stepped through. The transition was immediate. One moment I was in the hallway of Blackthorn, the next I was standing in a landscape that defied logic. The ground beneath me was cold and slick, like polished obsidian, yet it reflected nothing. The sky, or what passed for it, was an endless abyss, punctuated by faint, writhing tendrils of shadow. Shapes moved in the distance, too fluid and formless to be human. They pulsed and writhed, growing limbs and faces before dissolving again into shapeless black. Their eyes, or what could be called eyes, were pits of pure darkness, deeper than the void around them. The air was heavy, thick with an oppressive energy that made it hard to breathe. Whispers floated on the wind, louder now, their words almost discernible. I clenched my fists and pressed on. Every step felt like a struggle, as though the very ground sought to hold me back. The landscape shifted as I moved, paths twisting and folding into themselves, creating an endless maze. But in the distance I saw a faint light, a flicker of warmth in the cold expanse. As I approached the light, I realized it wasn't a fire or beacon, but a figure. They stood motionless, their form wreathed in shadow, yet distinct. The light seemed to emanate from within them, a dim glow barely piercing the darkness. "Who are you?" I demanded, my voice trembling. The figure tilted its head, the motion unnervingly slow. "I am the Keeper of Shadows," it said, its voice a low, resonant murmur that seemed to vibrate within my chest. "You have trespassed." "I'm looking for Adrian. Where is he?" The Keeper laughed, a sound like dry leaves rustling in a storm. "Many come looking. Few leave. Your friend is close, but the shadows have claimed him." I stepped closer, gripping the journal tightly. "What do you mean? He's not dead." The Keeper's form shifted, elongating and twisting as though mocking my defiance. "Not yet. But he has wandered too far. The shadows are patient. They consume slowly." A flash of movement to my left caught my attention. Turning, I saw Adrian, or what was left of him. He stood a few yards away, his body translucent, his edges flickering like a faulty projection. His eyes were wide, his mouth moving as if trying to speak, but no sound came out. Adrian! I shouted, running toward him, but the Keeper raised a hand, and the ground beneath me buckled. Shadows erupted around Adrian, coiling around him like serpents. He struggled, his form growing fainter with each passing moment.
"You cannot save him,"
the keeper said, its tone almost pitying.
"Not without a trade."
I turned to the keeper, desperation burning in my chest. What kind of trade? The shadows around it pulsed, as though it were considering.
"The shadows require balance, a soul for a soul.
His freedom for your imprisonment." I froze. The weight of the offer pressed down on me, crushing in its simplicity. My life for Adrian's. It was an impossible choice. But even as I hesitated, I could see Adrian fading further, his form dissolving into the dark. "No. There has to be another way." The keeper's form swirled, agitated.
"The shadows do not bargain. You are wasting time."
The memory keeper's warning returned to me.
"The shadows can be outsmarted."
I gripped the journal tightly, flipping through its pages in desperation. The final entry caught my eye.
"They thrive on despair. They cannot exist in the light of truth." Light, truth.
A sudden clarity pierced my fear. The shadows fed on fear, on lies and despair. But if I could expose them, weaken their hold, I might just be able to save Adrian without succumbing myself. I turned to Adrian, who was now almost entirely engulfed by the shadows.
"Adrian, listen to me. They're lying to you. You don't belong here. Fight them."
His eyes flickered, a glimmer of recognition breaking through the haze. The shadows recoiled slightly, their movements faltering. The keeper snarled, its form shifting violently.
"You cannot break a hold. This place is ours."
Ignoring it, I focused on Adrian. "Remember who you are. Your parents are waiting for you. You're stronger than this." The journal began to glow faintly in my hands, its leather cover warming against my skin. The light grew brighter, spilling out into the void. The shadows hissed and writhed, their forms unraveling under its brilliance. Adrian's figure solidified, his edges sharpening. He stumbled forward, breaking free of the shadowy tendrils. I reached out and grabbed his hand, pulling him close. The keeper roared, its voice a deafening cacophony. The void around us began to collapse, the shadows shrinking and dissipating as the light consumed them. With Adrian in tow, I turned and ran toward the gateway, the ground beneath us trembling. The void seemed to scream in protest, its darkness clawing at our heels. But the journal's light guided us, cutting through the chaos. We burst through the crack in the wall, collapsing onto the cold stone floor of Blackthorn. The portal behind us slammed shut, the seam vanishing as if I had never been there. Adrian lay beside me, breathing heavily but alive. His eyes, though haunted, were clear.
"You found me,"
he whispered, his voice hoarse. I nodded, tears streaming down my face.
"I promised I would."
As I helped him to his feet, I felt the weight of the memory keeper's gaze. Though unseen, her presence was palpable, a silent acknowledgement of what had been achieved. But I knew this was far from over. The shadows had been banished for now, but Blackthorn's darkness ran deeper than I had imagined, and the keeper of shadows was not one to forget. Adrian was safe, or so I told myself, as we stumbled through the dark corridors of Blackthorn, his weight heavy against my shoulder. The air in the school felt lighter now, the oppressive silence giving way to faint hums of life. Yet, the shadow of what we had seen lingered, and I couldn't shake the feeling that something or someone was indeed watching us. When we reached the grand foyer, Dr. Hargrove was waiting, his pale face unreadable. His eyes flicked between Adrian and me, sharp and calculating, as though weighing what we might reveal.
You found him,
he said at last, his voice devoid of warmth. I nodded.
He needs rest.
Dr. Hargrove's lips tightened, but he said nothing more. Two staff members appeared, taking Adrian gently from my side and leading him away. As they disappeared down the hall, Hargrove turned back to me.
You look like you've seen a ghost,
he said, a faint smirk tugging at his lips. I stared at him, the weight of everything I witnessed crashing down on me.
You knew? About the shadows? About the children?
The smirk faded for a moment. He looked weary, almost regretful, but the mask slipped back into place as quickly as it had fallen.
You should leave. Some things are best left buried.
I couldn't leave, not yet. There was one more person I needed to see. Adrian's room was just as we had left it, cold, bare, and heavy with an unseen presence. The memory keeper sat in her usual spot, her translucent form even dimmer than before. She looked at me with her hollow eyes filled with something like sorrow.
You succeeded. Adrian is free.
But the shadows aren't gone, I replied, my voice sharper than I'd intended. They're still here, still feeding.
She nodded.
They are bound to this place, to the pain and despair etched into its stone. They cannot be destroyed, only held at bay.
I clenched my fists. There has to be a way to stop them. The memory keeper's gaze darkened.
The shadows thrive because Blackthorn allows them to. As long as this place exists, so will they.
Her words hung in the air, heavy with truth. Destroying Blackthorn wasn't an option. Not without condemning the children who still called it home. But leaving it untouched meant the cycle would continue. There's more to this, a sudden thought striking me. The headmaster, Hargrove, he knows, he's protecting them. The memory keeper's form shimmered faintly.
He is bound to them, just as I am. He made his bargain long ago.
I felt a cold shiver run through me. What bargain?
To keep the shadows sated, the school must offer them souls. In return, Blackthorn thrives. Its reputation grows. Its halls filled with eager students. The cycle is unbroken.
Hargrove's office was locked, but the shadows had shown me things that keys couldn't hide. The door gave way under the weight of my shoulder and I stepped inside. The room was meticulously organized, its shelves lined with books and artifacts that seemed older than the castle itself. But what drew my attention was the journal on his desk. Its cover was a deep, unnatural black, and as I opened it, I felt the air around me chill and become colder, denser. The entries were indeed chilling. December 3rd, 1968. The shadows have spoken. They demand a life by the next moon or the school will suffer. The council agreed. The orphanage was the easiest solution. No one asked questions. July 14th, 1982. The boy wandered too close to the east wing. I tried to warn him, but the shadows claimed him before I could intervene. They were restless that year. One was not enough. March 5th, 2001. I see them now, even when I close my eyes. They are always watching, waiting. Blackthorn must stand, no matter the cost. I slammed the book shut, my hands trembling. Hargrove wasn't just complicit. He was the architect of the school's darkness. The shadows hadn't consumed him because he had bound himself to them, ensuring their survival in exchange for his own. The memory keeper's words returned to me. They cannot be destroyed, only held at bay. But what if they could be weakened? What if the truth, the light of what had happened here, was enough to sever their hold? I gathered the journal, the fragments of history from the library, and every dark secret I could uncover. Adrian's parents were influential, their grief a powerful motivator. If I could convince them to expose Blackthorn's secrets, to force the world to see what lay within its walls, perhaps the shadow's grip would loosen. As I prepared to leave, the memory keeper appeared one last time. "You are brave." Her voice heavy with both gratitude and warning. "But bravery will not protect you from this wrath. Their wrath." I met her gaze unflinching. "I won't let this place take another child." She smiled faintly, her form flickering. "Then you must move quickly. The shadows are already watching." As I walked out of Blackthorn's gates, the air felt lighter, the oppressive weight lifting slightly. Adrian was safe, but the battle wasn't over. The shadows would fight to protect their secrets, and Hargrove would do anything in his power to maintain the status quo. But I had something they didn't. The truth. I glanced back at the towering structure, its gargoyles perched like silent sentinels. For a moment, I thought I saw the faint outline of the Keeper of Shadows in one of the upper windows, watching me with those hollow eyes. Oh, how black and hollow those eyes were. This, though, wasn't the end. Not for me, not for Blackthorn, and certainly not for the shadows. But as long as I had breath in my lungs, I would fight. For Adrian, for the children who had been lost, for the souls still trapped in the castle's grasp. But even in the darkest nights, there was light. And I would wield it like a blade. Well, listeners, I hope you loved this episode. I know it's very different to my usual. I thought I'd apply a soft rain in the background, a different take than my usual story types. Trying something different, let me know if you did like this or didn't like the rain in the background. And so Adrian is saved, but the darkness of Blackthorn remains, a hungry force bound to the school's very stones. The shadows have been weakened, but they are far from gone. But they are far from gone. What secrets still linger in the crumbling walls? How far will the headmaster go to protect his pact with the unseen forces? And what would you sacrifice to save someone you love? As we close this chapter, this question looms. Is Blackthorn truly just a school? Or is it something far more sinister? Something alive, perhaps? I want to hear from you. Do you think the shadows can truly be defeated, or is Blackthorn destined to be a prison for the forgotten souls it has claimed? Share your theories, your chills, and thoughts on tonight's tale. Now, if you like what I do and want to support me slash the show, you can visit my Patreon at www.patreon.com/SFGT. There are multiple different tiers you can support me on, but any tier of support means you get episodes early by a whole week and 320 kilobytes. Of audio quality, so it's super crisp and super fresh. If that sounds like it's something you would like, then swing on over to my Patreon and send me some love. Thanks for considering. Also, if you have a couple of seconds spare, I would love an iTunes review. And let me know when you put them up so I can thank you out here on the podcast. Now, I want to thank my amazing superstars, the Patreons that already support me in the way that they do. First and foremost is my jaw-dropping, star-spangling, top tier, deity-esque supporter that is Matto Star at my own Knight T level. What a juggernaut, a colossus of support. Thanks to you, buddy, I've been able to really flex my muscles. In fact, the audio in this episode, the sound effects for the rain, completely fabricated. I spent a good bit of time creating just the right amount of rain and soft rain and heavy rain and ambient audio within that rain. I know, can rain get complicated? It sure as hell can. Just to make sure that it was easy on the ears, not too distracting, but also fit right on in with the tone of the story. Thanks to you, you superstar you, I'm able to not even think twice about where I put my dollary dues to make the stories better. And sometimes it's the lighter stories that don't have too many sound effects within them that are the trickiest, because the less you have, the less you can hide. So it's doubly important on audio quality and audio clarity. And thanks to you, buddy, I'm able to also use VEA, which is an artificial intelligence tool that reads my voice and cleans it up so it's even clearer on the audio waves. Matto Star, thank you so much for your unending support, your tier of support, and being my pal. Not an episode goes up without me thinking and thanking you, you legend. Thank you so much. Have a fantastic week ahead of you, and I'm keen to hear your thoughts on tonight's episode. I also want to thank my amazing trio of white tea warlords. Firstly, I want to thank Lesosaurus Rex, who fly kicks boredom in the throat, kicks the Monday's blues in the crotch, and is the pure definition of an Adonis god. Leza, I know you're probably at the gym listening to this, and I hope it makes your day, because you always make mine with your support and comments. Thank you so much for being my pal. Have a wonderful, fantastic week ahead of you, and I'm keen to hear your thoughts on tonight's episode as well. Thanks, legend. And my next white tea warlord, Joseph Schroeder, you superstar! Thank you for your awesome support, your lovely comments in the Patreon episodes, which I do love reading. In fact, it makes my week, reading through everyone's input, whether it's the story's input or what they're up to, or even just general feedback. All that really helps me from an episode-to-episode basis bring the best that I can possibly bring to you, lovely. So thank you so much, Joseph, for being part of that. Have a kick-ass week. And thank you so much, mate, for being my pal as well. You're awesome. And of course, my amazing superstar, Queen of Cats, Maya. Thank you so much for your brilliant support. I can't wait to get to your own custom story coming up involving the rebirth of that corrupted forest. Oh, yes. So thank you so much, Maya. If you've got any tips or directions you would like the story to go in, ahead of time, you know how to reach me. Thank you so, so much for your support, mate. Have a wonderful week ahead of you. And thank you so much for being my pal, Maya. And of course, I want to thank my Earl Grey enforcers. I am lucky enough to have Chad Warren, Peter Raffaelli, Joss Heather, Juicebox Andy, Divided by Zero, Paige Kramer, Marquette, Jane Gumnick, Seductive Smiles, Michael Krupp, Jessica Garcia, and Sangeetha Sagar. Thank you, living legends, for your support. And here's to more stories next Sunday for my Patreon legends, or the coming Friday for you lovely listeners out there. And just a reminder, if you ever want to reach out to me via email, you can contact me at storiesfablesghostlytales@gmail.com. Now, mates, have a fantastic week ahead of yourselves. And as always, till next we meet.
Night whispers secrets untold, ghostly tales centuries old. In the shadows mysteries unfold, listeners gather brave and bold. Stories, fables, ghostly tales, in every shadow a truth unveils. As the night around us prevails, every whispered secret sails. Around the fire, eyes wide with fear. Tales of the unseen draw near. Blurring lines between what's clear, between the real and what appears. In the night's embrace we find tales that haunt the mind. Forever in the dark entwined, ghostly tales forever bind. Forever!
For listening, legends. Thank you to my patrons, supporters. And a huge shout out to Matostar, Lesosaurus, Joseph, and Maya. Have a great week.